Okay, for the first time, Matt Moses.
All right, how's everybody doing this morning?
Great.
Okay, I'm going to try to stay pinpointed. I was telling Jim, this is probably the most in-depth teaching I think I've ever done, just going off on my own. So as I started with this one verse and started breaking it down, it started to spiderweb. So I had to keep kind of corralling it back in, and I hope you guys like what I finished with. So a little bit of a backdrop. We are going to be in 2 Peter to start, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. So, knowing that the first epistle of Peter was written to some of the people of Israel who believed in Jesus Christ, the second epistle written suggests that it was written to the same people as the first. The second epistle was written to the diaspora, or the people scattered throughout Asia Minor, to include Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. These people to whom he wrote believed in Jesus Christ. Although they had not seen him, they had already received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So just for a reference, if you need the geographical reference, look it up on your phone and in the back of some Bibles. If you guys need the reference to that, it'll be there if needed. So the epistle was reminding them of the scriptures that were spoken and written by holy men who were moved by God. And also reminded them of the words spoken by the apostles regarding Jesus Christ and his fulfillment of those scriptures. A little bit of backdrop about where I was. This actually started, I was on vacation around this time last year to take your first class. So I had worked some of my work schedule out to be able to attend his classes, which were pretty eye-opening for me. There were some pretty basic things and then some pretty in-depth things that I'm like, why hasn't anybody ever showed this to me before? Or maybe they tried and I was aloof to what they were teaching me. So when I started reading around this time last year following the class, I started asking different kinds of questions when I was in the Word. So I would read a passage, and this was actually one of the first things. You guys mostly know that I work graveyards, and then you guys know that I go to a dark, dank prison in the middle of nowhere. And it's really, really cool to be a bright, shining light when there is so much darkness around. You know, I just imagine a guy holding a candle in the pitch black darkness, wandering his way through a forest or whatever you picture, and then that light is your faith, and that light is Christ leading you through your way. So I think that's pretty cool. So I got into the habit of opening up the Bible before I stepped into the facility, and this is one of the first places that I landed. And the main focus of the teaching is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, because when I got to 5 and 7, I understood those words from a dictionary perspective, because I used to teach English, and I'm kind of okay with words. But I started asking myself, well, I know what people say about these words. I wonder what God says about those words. And it seems like a pretty simple question, but it just kind of rocked me before work. So I was practicing tongues, and I've been doing that this last year. I roam the day halls and the hallways with all these guys. And a lot of times inside my head, I'm just speaking broken tongues. Sometimes it comes out and it's like, oh, that's awesome. That was like fluent right there. It's gone. And other times it's broken, but if you come back and remember that it's perfect, when I had read this, I wanted to know what God had to say about it. So that kind of began this teaching. So those are the two word pictures. I'm in a dark, dank hole in the middle of nowhere in Colorado, doing some pretty crazy stuff. And then with the accompaniment of this fellowship and Jim's tutelage. Yeah, introduction to the Bible class. I think this is pretty cool because this is about it. Took me a little bit to get moved and then on point with this. So I'm going to jump right in and we'll go ahead and get started. So Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So I'm going to break down this word knowledge, and we're going to be taking a look at it through this teaching. So the Greek word for this particular usage in this passage is epignosis. Knowledge or acknowledgement is what the Greek translation translates out to be. With the prefix epi, it includes the idea of recognition or acknowledgement. So in this particular case, the thing known or acknowledged is God and Jesus Christ. And like I said, this will be revisited because we're going to see the word knowledge different times throughout 1 through 10, but the meaning alters because the Greek word changed in the translation. So when we go back to that, we're going to look at a couple to that. So moving on. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge, epignosis, which is the acknowledgement of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. What does God say about virtue? So arete is the Greek word for virtue, which means excellence of character, moral goodness, or simply put, moral excellence. This also occurs, to take a look at that word virtue, also occurs in Philippians 4:8. So if you guys want to move to Philippians 4:8, I'll hang out for a second and we'll kind of go through the Bible and look at different places that these words are going to be used. So this kind of began some of my rabbit trails as I started taking an in-depth look at 2 Peter, which is what really stuck on my heart that night, and it just didn't go anywhere. So I'm not going to break down these passages too much. I just want to take a look at the word used throughout the Bible and then put it into context of what God says these words mean. So excellence of character, moral goodness, and moral excellence. Philippians 4:8 reads, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good rapport, if there be any virtue, or if there be any moral excellence, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Let's skip ahead to Luke 8:46, and I'll give you guys a few seconds again. So this was a really cool verse because it got me on the Greek, because I read this verse and I wanted to know what the word perceived mean in this one. So it says, "And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And the cool thing about this is when you look at the Greek word ginosko, I think is how you pronounce it, the meaning translated from ginosko in the Greek is to know absolutely. So the Bible is about the only place you're going to find absolute truth versus relative truth. So what this says is, somebody hath touched me because I know absolutely virtue has gone out of me. At that moment, Christ knew moral excellence had gone out of him. So the virtue and the perceive in that word was a really, really cool breakdown to take a look at what the Greek had to say, because in that moment, Christ, who is of virtue, moral excellence, had known absolutely. There was no doubt he knew moral excellence had left him. So let's move ahead to 2 Peter. And we're going to go to chapter 1, and I'm going to move on from 5 through 6. All right. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 6. We're going to see the word virtue replayed again. I apologize. I'm going to come back to that a little bit later. That was part of the meat and potatoes of my study. We're going to go to 2 Peter 1, verse 4. And it says, "Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So the Greek word for promises is epigamma. That is the thing promised or what was promised. So this also occurs in 2 Peter 3:13. So if you guys want to move ahead there. So, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So, that was the lead-in, the 2 Peter. That was kind of a breakdown of 1 through 4, and then some of the words that we can find throughout the Bible. When I got to this particular passage before I stepped into the facility is really, really where it hit me, because this is where I had about a million questions and I was going a million miles an hour. And this, like I said, it stuck with me since right after the first class. So I've been kind of dwelling on this whole thing for pretty much the entire year, kind of just breaking it down piece by piece. And this is where, like, I thought it got really, really cool. So in 2 Peter 1... Now we're going to go back to 5, now that we've done 1 through 4, and from 5 through 7, this is really, really cool to break down. So it says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." As I read that, like I said before, I know what we say about it, because I've read them in a dictionary. I understand the meaning of the words. What is God saying about it? And that's where I got to learn some pretty cool stuff. So I'm going to go through, and I'll try to be temperate. If I'm moving too fast, not giving you guys enough time, just let me know, finding the books and verses and stuff. So, diligence. The Greek word is spoudē, which is speed, that is eagerness, forwardness, haste, earnest care, and carefulness. So in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So keep thy heart with all forwardness, haste, and earnest care, because out of it are the issues of life. 2 Corinthians 8:7. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in grace also." And then in Hebrews 6:11-12, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So as I started looking through the Bible and then replacing the forwardness haste with earnest care, it kind of added new context to some of those verses as well. And that's where some of the spider web is. I'm not going to get into the other verses too much because I can't spider web down that rabbit hole. So I got to stick on to the thing that I was going to do. So now let's move to the word faith. So it says giving all diligence. So giving all earnest care, add to your faith. This one was pretty simple. Pistis, I think is how you pronounce it. Pistis. Believing with earnest care, add to your believing. So that is the foundation for right believing mentioned in 2 Peter verse 1 is what they had believed. So when Peter was writing them, this is what they had, the foundation for right believing, which is what it is asking us to have in all earnest care. Good? All right. Let's get into, I'm going to go over virtue again, just because it said it before. And then remember, that is arete. So we're talking about moral excellence with virtue. I'm going to skip down to knowledge, because this is where it got a little bit different. So in the first use of the word, they use the word epinosis, which means the acknowledgement of. When they mention it in 5 through 7, they take the epi off, which is the prefix, and they have just the word gnosis to it. And that is the knowing of. So when you read it in the King James, you're going to see the word knowledge 4 or 5 times with a slight altercation to what the Greeks had. So you move from the acknowledgement of God in Christ, and then he's saying the knowing of in your faith. So once you acknowledge him, get to know him. And it's a pretty simple breakdown for that. So in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, that's what I already just did. So first acknowledge, then getting to know. Then we move into temperance. Ekratia? Yeah, sounds good. We'll call it ekratia. So temperance in this case, self-control. Galatians 5:23 says meekness and temperance or self-control, against such there is no law. So against meekness and temperance, there is no law. Different spider web for a different day. I got to keep going forward. So patience, hupomene. Wow, we'll call it that. Hupomene. Patience is hopeful endurance and waiting. And this is a really cool word found all throughout the Bible. There's going to be plenty more examples that I had to leave off. So I'm going to hit some of the highlights of them. And if you guys want me to slow down as I hop from verse to verse so you can move through the Bible, just let me know. If not, I'm going to just keep going, okay? So in Luke 8:15, but that on the ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So with patience, we're going to bring forth good fruit. Luke 21:19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. So I kind of started picking up from some of the passages that I'm reading. Patience was a pretty big key word in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. And if I move down to Romans 5, 2 through 5, this is one I got to be careful on. I told myself I have to give myself a verbal note. Go down this trail, read the passage, and move on. Because this was a whole other thing I started getting into this week, and I had to stop. So Romans 5, 2 through 5. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And that was pretty awesome. I got a million questions that I'm going to probably try and go answer, so maybe a teaching in the future if I do a good job closing this one out. I'm going to move down to Romans 8:25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And that's another really, really cool one that spiderwebbed into this. But if we hope for what we see not, Do we with patience wait for it? And I've had plenty of talks with Jim just in my professional walk of seeing this battlefield and fighting the things that aren't seen. So when I have conversations in these places, it's been really, really cool if you just, I don't know, I just picture you elevate your eyesight to the plane above. And the physical principalities that you're surrounded by can get scary, they can get hectic. But if you start breaking down the things that you can't see and speaking into those things, it blows my mind the mountains that you can move in a unit or in a facility. And just being that light in that place and all of these passages just kind of started hitting me. So this is what I've been sitting on going into that place and hopefully just shedding light here and shedding light there. And it's been a really cool experience. And that was another really, really cool one, was Romans 8:25. That one just kind of stuck, and I'll circle back so I don't chase that one too. I'm going to move down to Romans 15:4. And I spent a little bit of time with patience. I started getting into these verses and I'm like, oh, this is an important one. So for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Moving into godliness, Eusebia, and this was one Jim had to help me because I had a hard time reining this one in. Godliness is a true, vital, spiritual relationship with God, opposite of religion or outward acts of the flesh. One of the things also that I mentioned to Jim was this was like the Pharisee standing on the street corner praying in front of anybody. They didn't do that for God's benefit. They did it for their own benefit as an outward act of religion to show how great they were to the people. That wasn't godliness. That was religion. And that was just kind of one example. And I didn't pick any specifics, but talking about that, that's what I always kind of come back to, is when they talked how they would pray on the street corners and do all these acts of service only in front of the company of other people to be seen by people, not by God. So godliness, one more time, a true vital spiritual relationship with God. Brotherly kindness, Philadelphia is the actual Greek word for that. And this one's pretty simple. It's just brotherly love. And charity, the Greek word is agape, which is love, a compassionate devotion for and attachment out of admiration and veneration. So in 2 Peter 5-7, we read, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and add to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. So breaking down the Greek words and moving in through the Bible, I rewrote it and kind of broke this down. And it really, this whole thing, it was kind of sad at the same time because like all of this time spent searching, I broke it down into like 3 sentences. But it was pretty cool because there was a lot of time put into this. So I'm going to read this to you, replacing some of this with the definitions of the words. And besides this, giving all forward haste and earnest care, add to your believing moral excellence, and to moral excellence, knowing, and to knowing, self-control, and to self-control, a hopeful endurance and waiting, and to a hopeful endurance and waiting, a true vital spiritual relationship with God, and to a true vital spiritual relationship with God, brotherly love, and to brotherly love, a compassionate devotion for an attachment out of admiration and veneration to all. So closing out this one was the finishing. It's going to be 2 Peter 1, and it'll be 8-10. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge. Now we're back to epinosis, because it is saying be barren nor unfruitful in the acknowledgement. So acknowledge, get to know, and in that acknowledgement, you will not be unfruitful of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence, or forward haste and earnest care, to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And that's that. That is my teaching.
Thank you.